Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. And this is the 5th of September, and we're so pleased to be doing this, American Heroes Group. And, of course, we've got my co-host, Dr. Damon Arnold, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold.
Thanks for paying attention, sir.
Okay. Our executive producer is here in the studio, Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer, Manny Corazari. Our assistant digital media producer is Titus Williams. So we're pleased to have all these folks here. Always having some great things with us. And joining us now, in addition to these wonderful people that we have, is also Rochelle Crump. Rochelle, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
We lost her. They'll put her back on. You'll put her back. Yeah, we want to make sure that the...
Hello, everyone. Are you there? Dr. Arnold, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. Rochelle, are you back on the line? Sean, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We're waiting on Rochelle to get reconnected. So,
we're at public.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think we're going to wait for Rochelle to get reconnected.
I'm here.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Governor Talk Radio, are you ready?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have two audios that we're going to play back-to-back. CNN audio, Biden fires back at Trump saying, my son wasn't a sucker. The next one is CNN audio, here's the problem with Donald Trump with the Atlantic story, and Dr. Arnold is going to expound on both topics.
Okay.
Quite frankly, if what is written in the Atlantic is true, it's disgusting. And it affirms what most of us believe to be true, that Donald Trump is not fit to be the job of president, to be the commander-in-chief. The president reportedly said, and I emphasize reportedly said, that those who sign up to serve instead of doing something more lucrative are suckers. Let me be real clear. When my son was an assistant U.S. attorney and he volunteered to go to Kosovo while the war was going on, as a civilian, he wasn't a sucker. When my son volunteered and joined the United States military as the Attorney General and went to Iraq for a year, won the Bronze Star and other commendations, he wasn't a sucker. The service men and women he served with, particularly those who did not come home, were not losers. If these statements are true, the president should humbly apologize to every Gold Star mother and father and every Blue Star family that he's denigrated and insulted. Who the heck does he think he is? Is it true? Well, we've heard from his own mouth his characterizations of an American hero, John McCain, as a loser in 2015. Donald Trump said he was not a war hero. I like people who weren't captured. Well, good for him. And his dismissal of the traumatic brain injury suffered by troops serving in Iraq as mere headaches not too long ago. He stood by, failing to take action or even raise the issue with Vladimir Putin, while the Kremlin puts bounties on the heads of American troops in Afghanistan. It's a sacred duty. And you're tired of hearing me say this. Those you've been covering me for years know. I get in trouble for saying, but I'm going to say it again. We have many obligations to the government. We only have one truly sacred obligation. Equip and support those who we send into harm's way. Care for their families while they're gone, and care for them when they are home. That's the only truly sacred obligation a government has. Duty, honor, country. These are values that drive our service members. It's an all-voluntary outfit. President Trump has demonstrated he has no sense of service, no loyalty to any cause other than himself. If I have the honor of being the next commander-in-chief, I will ensure that our American heroes know I'll have their backs, honor their sacrifice, and those who've been injured will be in military parades. I'm always cautioned not to lose my temper. This may be as close as I've come this campaign.
President Trump is now denying a blistering report in The Atlantic magazine that says the president called dead American soldiers, quote, losers and suckers during a visit to France in 2018.
Willing to swear on anything that I never said that about our fallen heroes. There is nobody that respects them more. So I just think it's a horrible, horrible thing. We made a great evening into, frankly, a very sad evening when I see a statement like that. No animal, nobody, what animal would say such a thing?
We should note that CNN itself has not independently confirmed this report. We are joined now by the reporter behind it, Jeffrey Goldberg. He's the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, and he broke the story. Jeffrey, the president has also tweeted this morning that he never called John McCain a loser, that another part of your story. We know that's not true, and we played his comments calling McCain exactly that in 2015. But let me ask you your response to his denial of the story regarding the visit to the Belleau Wood battle scene outside of Paris in 2018. How do you answer those denials?
I stand by my reporting. I have multiple sources telling me this is what happened. And so I stand by it.
Let me read some of that reporting that you are putting out in The Atlantic. You know, there were so many questions, Jeffrey, as you'll remember, when that trip to the cemetery at Belleau Wood was canceled. And so back here, everyone was struggling to figure out what happened. Was it weather related? Did he just want to come home? So your reporting says, in a conversation with senior staff members on the morning of the scheduled visit, Trump said, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." In a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood as suckers for getting killed. Trump on that.
Okay, Dr. Arnold, what are you thinking?
Oh, boy.
Well, let me first say, let me say this as a civilian. To Rochelle, to you, Dr. Arnold, to Sean, to Ernesto, to you, Cliff, I highly respect you all so much. And I appreciate the service that you have given to this country, because at one time, all you all know, I wanted to go into the armed services. I had qualified as a Marine. I had done everything but sworn in, and I got so afraid when Desert Operation turned into Desert Storm. So all of you, not just you, but all the men and women who have put on a uniform has had courage that I didn't have. So President Trump and I share that one thing. Neither one of us had courage. So let me personally say to all of you all listening globally, thank you so much for your service to this country, because you have made the sacrifices and had the courage that other people did not have to put on the uniform, let alone walk in the boots. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenda. That was really deeply felt, too. What beautiful words you just said. And our veterans have to realize, you know, I personally met Senator McCain. I was in D.C. and actually walked by his office, and I just stopped in to say hello to him. And he said, "Come in, sit down." He said, "You're a veteran?" And he was, like, absolutely an incredible person to sit with. And what an honorable, what a noble, what a great, great American hero. His plane, when it went down, wasn't because he had bone spurs that stopped him from pushing the pedals on the plane. It was because his helicopter crashed. I'm sorry, his helicopter crashed. And when it was his plane. When he crashed, he actually had to crash in a swamp. He had to be beaten by people who were enemy combatants. who dragged him out of the water, drug him to a place where he actually stayed in a place that held him against his will in an enemy war camp. And then when he had the opportunity to leave, because his father was a military officer as well, high-ranking general, so they said that, oh, you can leave. And he said, absolutely not. I'm staying with my service members. I doubt that our president would ever do that, would stay with us as a nation as we're going through the trials and tribulations we're going through right now. And it is such an affrontment to everything that we are. And only thing I can say to Senator Biden, Vice President Biden, is that I used to have a toy when I was growing up, and it really influenced me to some degree. It was G.I. Joe. And I can say that he is the G.I.'s Joe. He is our G.I.'s Joe for making those comments and making those statements to uphold the honor, the respect, and the dignity and the valor that our service members need to know that they possess. And when they stepped off of those helicopters over in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Vietnam, in World War II, in World War I, they went with a greater gift than he can seem to understand and recognize. They went with courage, and they went with the defense of this nation that we are now a part of, and we all need to come together. I had brothers who were white, African-American, from the Asian community, from Hispanic community. I had brothers and sisters from both and all backgrounds, and they stood with me, whereas some people who call others losers and cowards and were not there. So this is really stabs deep in the heart of the honor of our military veterans. And we need to recognize that.
Well put, Doctor. One of the things that, of course, I wasn't in World War II, obviously. but I was.
I was in the Civil War.
But I was visiting in France, and I went to Normandy, where big battle in Normandy, and when you see the way the Germans had that whole thing lined up, unbelievable. I mean, the folks, that the Americans who survived that, they've got movies about it and the whole thing. But it was, to see that is, you know, you come in on the boat and the gate drops and you're dead. I mean, you're talking about people with a lot of courage, and certainly folks that have done some great work. And we got some problems now, hopefully. Uh-huh.
So, Sean,
I want to thank, Bo Biden for his service as well.
Yeah.
But he had courage. He went to Kosovo.
Right.
And then he went to Afghanistan. That takes courage. And I want to extend our love and appreciation for the sacrifices of Biden's son as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well put.
And he recognized the Gold Star and the Blue Star families, and we got to remember that they are still living with us and still living with the aftermath of what the loss of their people.
Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so Sean, we have two articles that you're going to discuss. The Pentagon orders shutdown of Stars and Stripes newspaper, and then the next article is Trump reverses Defense Department orders to shut down Stars and Stripes newspaper, which you posted. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so a day after the Atlantic reported this travesty that the commander in chief of all people allegedly made, calling our war dead, suckers and losers, it was already something on the books that went back to February. So the Pentagon sent a memo to the publishers of Stars and Stripes to shut down at the end of originally January. So the last day of the publication was supposed to be January 31st of 2021. Now, the paper has been around since the Civil War. It was actually set up by Illinois Army Regiments, believe it or not. So Illinois Army Regiments took over a printing press in Missouri that was owned by a Confederate sympathizer. And that's how the Stars and Stripes actually began. So that paper has a long, long legacy. So Trump basically trying to raise money for his wall, his border wall, trying to raise about $5 billion or so, decided to cut the budget for the paper, which is only about $15 million. Now, the thing that's interesting about this paper is that not only does it have a long legacy, but this paper is one of the only news outlets that's funded partially by the Department of Defense that has an independent editorial, meaning they can write articles and be unbiased and not just present propaganda by any source. The Department of Defense has other media initiatives besides the Stars and Stripes. The Stars and Stripes was the only news media outlet that was targeted to be shut down by the Trump administration. Okay. Now, the thing is, now after the alleged comments, Trump now tweeted just recently that he's not shutting this paper down, that it's going to be able to run and actually be able to publish again and continue its unbiased reporting. Now, the thing about this newspaper, once again, if you go back and look at the articles that their paper has written over the last 5 years or so during Trump's administration, during when he was candidate and then when he became president, it's always been unbiased. It's actually never really come out and said anything that was harsh, critical, or unfair, and certainly nothing damning about the president's actions. Pretty much you can read their reporting and see that it's giving you the facts as to what he's done, the things his administration has proposed, the things his administration is doing, even all the while it was basically under memorandum to be closed down, which is remarkable. It's very important, I think, to note as well is that members of Congress have actually been trying to tell Trump, don't shut this paper down. And I have to give props and give a lot of credit to our senator here in Illinois, Tammy Duckworth, because she actually, even though I won't call her disabled, because even though she lost both her legs in Iraq, there's nothing disabled about her. She is enabled beyond belief. She is a person who has actually took up the cause to try to present the argument that this paper actually does present a voice to American soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. Even General Eisenhower called the paper the soldiers' newspaper, and gets about 1 million people to read the paper around the world. Every year, about 1 million people read the paper. It gets about 2 million hits a month on its website. So the paper is still relevant. The fact that this paper would be targeted for shutdown, this also shows not only the president's lack of respect for the military, but also the lack of respect for free speech.
Preach, Sean. Preach.
Because Congress, mandates that this paper not to be governed by the First Amendment principles. It's the only media outlet by the Department of Defense that gets any money from the Department of Defense that's allowed to speak the truth without any bias. It has an independent editor, the only one. And that's the only paper that you target to be shut down.
Well, Sean, what do you think we can do collectively to support them not shutting the newspaper down at all, but giving them the funding that's needed to keeping it going? What should we do? Should we call our congressperson? What are your suggestions?
We should definitely do that. Okay. But also keep in mind, this paper also gets a lot of its money from the public. Only about 35% of its funding comes from Congress or from the Department of Defense, I should say.
Okay.
So the rest of that money, the paper costs 99 cents. Go online and subscribe. Go online and buy a paper. Go online and look at the website, read the articles.
Okay.
When people see, just like you mentioned before, Glenda, before, politicians pay attention to numbers.
Yes, they do.
When we start supporting these media outlets, that's when people can realize, hey, if the information we're getting, hey, it's unbiased. It tells the truth. It's not trying to steer you one way or the other. And at the same time, I'm getting informed about what's happening in our military, because we don't have a lot of options. We're one of the only militaries in the world, if not the only military in the world, that truly, I believe, gives an unbiased opinion about what's happening. Where else can you, as a soldier, or as an airman, as a Marine, or a sailor, have the opportunity to speak your voice while you're serving in uniform?
Well, Sean, and
this paper is actually written by service members.
If you recall, Sean, last year I shared with you that I had seen something on social media regarding Stars and Stripes, but I had not done a lot of research. But I was seeing places where Trump didn't really care for the way they were reporting on his administration. So he personally directed the Pentagon to defund them. So this initially comes from him. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly, that's correct. But the truth of it is, Trump doesn't like any paper or any article. And I've read those articles that Stars and Stripes had written about Trump, none of which actually gave any really unbiased or any kind of slanted information about him. It was just the facts. They didn't say, oh, we don't like this, or we don't like that, or or give any kind of real damning information about them. It's told the facts. So if you can't live by your own facts, you can't blame a newspaper for just saying what happened.
Ding.
If I say that she walked down the street and slipped in the banana peel, I'm not saying it was funny. I'm not saying it was a horrible thing. I just said that's what happened. If you don't like the fact that that happened, then don't slip in the banana peel.
That's right.
Well,
that's
you
right.
know.
But don't tell me not to tell the truth.
Ernie Gates, who is the ombudsman for Stars and Stripes, told CNN Friday that shutting the outlet down would be, quote, fatal interference and permanent censorship of a unique First Amendment organization that has served U.S. troops reliably for generations.
That's right.
And that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is, but, you know, one of the things when I was over in Iraq and I was doing my tours over there, I used to go back to my bunk and have blood on my shoes from all the people who had been part of the combat scene, who had been, you know, losing limbs and everything else. And that there was a Stars and Stripes that they would deliver.
Wow.
And it was the only thing on the battlefield that kept some rationality in some people's heads. And you felt, made you proud to see that Stars and Stripes. And you read the article, and we used to share the newspaper, and it would come out periodically, but everyone would grab that thing and start reading it. And so it actually is for morale for those people who are overseas right now.
Sure.
And in multiple different countries, it keeps them connected to what they're fighting for.
Absolutely. Okay, well, before time runs out, Rochelle, you have an article on poster changes, delays, mail orders, medicine for veterans.
Absolutely. And, you know, the post office is one of the major veteran-friendly employers in the nation, along with the VA. And together, they should be able to figure this dangerous issue out. They said 120 million prescriptions. Now, this was quoted out of the Associated Press, 120 million prescriptions. And 330,000 mailings to veterans. Now, that's a lot, you know. And when you look at it, we know that this is very, very important. 31 senators have been looking into this matter. I actually spoke with Senator Durbin's staff regarding it, and they are very concerned. They're looking to make sure that veterans know how to make complaints. Medicine is important. Many people are alive because of their medicine. Missing doses, like they've noted, is critical to their care. So when you look at the fact that they're not receiving their medications, now who's advocating for them? I'm really concerned about those seniors who don't have advocates, who don't know how or can access VA services the way that they could if, in fact, they had an advocate. You know, I've had experience myself. I received medication from the VA. But, you know, when I think about what about the diabetics, those who receive needles, if they're not receiving them, where are they going? You know, what about the addicts who actually take pills all the time? And if that's not managed, then it basically has a very deep and personal experience for them in how, you know, they proceed in their life. Where is that medication going? You know, that could lead to suicide, things of that nature. Now, we know that employees, some are bad and some are good. That's everywhere you go. But when you think about the fact that we have veterans who are also employed, the lack that I see sometimes in our postal workers, the lack of enthusiasm about their jobs, it's heartbreaking. You know, I had a personal experience where I had a postal worker show up at my door. He didn't have a mask on. He didn't have gloves on. And he said I needed to sign for something. Now, I don't know if that was my medication or not. However, I told him I needed to go and get a mask. I need to go and get a pen. You are not appropriate right now at my door. He did not wait. He continued on about his way. And when I reported it to the post office, the Hazelcrest post office, it was like I never mentioned it. Calling the postal system for the inspector general to look into it, that's a deep process. It takes a long period of time. And now so many people are making complaints, I never actually got a process for a result of what took place. All I can say is that, you know what? What about our members who are still serving, who are sending information, pictures and their loved ones, to their loved ones about how they're doing. Are they getting their mail? We need to look at all facets of what is going on, and they need to do better. That's the bottom line. And between the two agencies, shame on them for not caring more about the system and about each other.
Well, Well. Preach, Rochelle. Preach.
That's right. She's telling the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because I think anybody who's been in the service can remember one of the things that was more important than anything, Rochelle, was mail call.
Mail call. That's right.
More important than any
That's
other
right.
thing. You could miss a meal if you had to give up mail call.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Right.
Isn't that the truth? And I, too, salute each of you for your service. And, Glenda, thank you so much for always mentioning that, for always, you know, mentioning the veterans and your heart in doing so. So I just salute you, too. You're honorary veteran. I salute you, sister.
All right. Now, today I got my wings, y'all.
That's right.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah.
But, Rochelle, do you notice the difference since the Postmaster General changed a lot of the logistics? Do you notice the disturbance because of that?
You know what? Some of the post offices have changed their hours, but you don't find that out until you make that trip over there.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Okay.
You know, that would be the first thing. And now they're talking about they're closing down when they have lunch. Well, they should have people working all shifts, all times of the day. And I've seen that. I know when I filed my complaint there, the postal worker told me that they're not even wearing masks where they are. She said, I have to keep mine on because they will not wear theirs.
Wow.
So, you know, there is a shift in, I think it's more so about the person, the people who are working in the post office. You got a lot of subs. They're not veterans. They don't care.
Right.
They're much younger people. Let's not forget all the mail that they found in the garbage can, in
got
the man's
you.
Garage and all of those things. You
I
know,
you.
That never really came about a resolution.
Okay, we got to wrap up Public Policy Roundtable. Thank you, Sean, Dr. Arnold. Stay on, Dr. Arnold. Sean, Rochelle, you guys are always great. Stay tuned for more America's Heroes Group.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.